This episode brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Voy a ponerme la vacuna Prevnar 20 porque estoy en riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica,
la cual pudiera llevarme al hospital. Así que preguntaré sobre Prevnar 20.
65 años o más, puedes estar en mayor riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico acerca de vacunarte con Prevnar 20. Vacuna conjugada antineumocócica 20 valente. Una vacuna de Pfizer que puede ayudar a proteger contra la neumonía neumocócica con una sola dosis. Prevnar 20 está aprobada para adultos para ayudar a prevenir infecciones contra 20 cepas de la vacuna que causa la neumonía neumocócica. La aprobación continua puede depender de un estudio de apoyo. No uses Prevnar 20 si has tenido una reacción alérgica grave a la vacuna o a sus componentes. Adultos con sistemas inmunitarios debilitados pueden tener una respuesta reducida a la vacuna. El efecto secundario más reportado fue dolor en el área de la inyección. Para más efectos secundarios comunes e información completa de prescripción, llama al 1-855-213-2138 o visita Prevnar20enespañol.com. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico sobre Prevnar 20.
Voy a ponerme la vacuna Prevnar 20 porque estoy en riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica,
la cual pudiera llevarme al hospital. Así que preguntaré sobre Prevnar 20.
65 años o más, puedes estar en mayor riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico acerca de vacunarte con Prevnar 20. Vacuna conjugada antineumocócica 20 valente. Una vacuna de Pfizer que puede ayudar a proteger contra la neumonía neumocócica con una sola dosis. Prevnar 20 está aprobada para adultos para ayudar a prevenir infecciones contra 20 cepas de la bacteria que causa la neumonía neumocócica. La aprobación continua puede depender de un estudio de apoyo. No uses Prevnar 20 si has tenido una reacción alérgica grave a la vacuna o a sus componentes. Adultos con sistemas inmunitarios debilitados pueden tener una respuesta reducida a la vacuna. El efecto secundario más reportado fue dolor en el área de la inyección. Para más efectos secundarios comunes e información completa de prescripción, llama al 1-855-213-2138 o visita Prevnar20enespañol.com. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico sobre Prevnar 20.
Cody, and guess what?
What it do, boom.
It's never too early to play holiday music, and it's never too early to start thinking about gifts. Whether it's for a friend or the friends in your pants, you can make this a season to be jolly with Manscaped. Do your little drummer boy a favor and use the Lawnmower 4.0 to avoid another silent night in the bedroom.
Yeah, I don't make
then any add noise. In Manscaped's top-of-the-line shower products to have the people thinking all I want for Christmas is you. Santa cares about his sack, and so should you. Look nice when you get naughty by going to manscaped.com and using code K100 for free shipping and 20% off. Is it K100, by the way, Joe?
Yes, sir.
Okay. To tell you a little about the product, this is our favorite product, by the way, and it's one of our biggest sellers because people have heard about this, like we talk about all the time. But the Manscaped Platinum Package 4.0 is a one-stop shop for the man who deserves it all. There's everything needed to help you deck the halls from face to balls just in time for mistletoe season. The Platinum Package has each product from the best-selling Performance Package Plus Ultra Premium Body Wash, Ultra Premium 2-in-1 Shampoo and Conditioner, and Ultra Premium Deodorant. I know a lot of wrestling fans could use that. It's the best way to smell fresh from your Santa hat to your candy cane. And the Lawnmower 4.0 Body Trimmer is my favorite, and the Weed Whacker Nose and Hair Trimmer feature proprietary advanced skin-safe technology to protect your delicate presence. Plus, both are waterproof, so there's no issue clearing the snow out of your driveway. There's also a 4000K LED light, so you can light the way just like Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. Now that you have groomed candy cane, it's time to make sure you don't smell like a reindeer with the Platinum Package of shower products. All of Manscaped's shower gear is sulfate-free, vegan. Joe, I know you love that.
Very
made to have your skin feeling hydrated and smelling fresh. But smelling good doesn't stop at the shower. The Crop Preserver Ball Deodorant and Crop Reviver Ball Toner can solve stank problems all day long. Once they touch your sack, you'll never go back. The Platinum Package 4.0 sitting under the tree is guaranteed to put anyone in the holiday spirit. And for the perfect stocking stuffer, add in the brand new Body Buffer. An incredible body scrubber that makes exfoliating.
Oh, yeah, I saw that. Yeah.
Yeah, and a lot cleaner than an old loofah. So get 20% off and free shipping with the code K100 manscaped.com. 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com and use code K100. Manscaped, get your jingle balls ready for the holidays.
Well, first of all, Manscaped always has funny ads. And the second thing is it's incredible. and they just keep adding shit. Because like when we first got it, all they gave you was like the razor and maybe like a conditioner and the briefs, remember? Yeah. And the leather bag. And now they've been adding all this extra stuff, you know.
Yeah, deodorant.
They got nose clipper, deodorant. So, you know, keep yourself clean, keep yourself groomed, keep yourself hygienic. And this product works. We all use it. It's a great product. Get your Manscaped. Boom.
Next one's from Jesse James. The subject is Karrion Kross versus IWC. Greetings, K100 fam bam dang gangalang. Fam bam dang gangalang. Fam bam dangalang.
Dangalang.
Kazoo that, please. I'm tempted to I'm tempted to suspend this guy for that. I'd like your input on the criticism I've seen of Karrion Kross from a large portion of wrestling fans on Twitter. I saw some wrestling news sites send a tweet asking what the fans thought of Kross's return this far on a scale of 1 to 10. I got bored and had some time on my hands, so I decided to calculate an average out of 150 respondents that provide an actual number, which turned out to be 5.7 out of 10. My question is, do you think is there any legitimacy to the criticism? Do you think Kross is at the level WWE thought he would be at this point in the run, and do you think that the haters could potentially hold him back from a world title opportunity? Thanks and take care. I think Kross is doing fine. I thought his match with Drew is probably the best match he's had so far since he's been in WWE. But Kross is not, you know, he's not like a guy that should be like wrestling every week. He's a guy where you do vignettes to build up a story to make you care about the match, and it's like, as to me, this is my theory on professional wrestling. A lot of casual fans think this way. We don't care how great the match is; it just has to be decent. And like, if a match stinks, it ruins it for you. Okay, but if a match is fine, it's fine. It's like if a match is not great, that doesn't mean it's not good. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, I never, and the thing, the standards of wrestling fans these days of what they think good matches are, what you need to do in a match, and, you know, and stuff. And like, it just doesn't really jibe with a larger portion of fans that don't care about that stuff. You know, well, what would you think, Conan?
Yeah, I think WWE sees what you and I saw in him, and they're all in on him, and it doesn't matter how much the haters make. It's his spot to lose, and he won't. He reminds me of kind of like Cena and Roman, who had everything except the work rate. And I think he's going to turn into a real, real good worker. Well, plus, he's a fast learner.
Well, let me tell you why he already is a good worker. Okay, because he doesn't do a lot of stuff. That's why people don't think he's a good worker. But bro, he sells great.
Right.
His selling is excellent. You know, right.
And everything else is
right.
Excellent.
His facials.
Does none of that count?
When you put the camera on a guy and you make a facial that's telling a story, he knows how to make those facials.
Right.
Like, you look at a lot of green guys, the camera's on, they don't even know where the camera is, you know? So that's what he's a great way to produce a cinematic television star. You know, he has all those tools, so.
Yeah, and I think you guys know, of course, every so often they'll have someone come in and toss out like 8, 9, 10 guys in the Rumble, whether it was Nash or Kane or Reigns. That's a great spot for Kross, I think. If he comes out and destroys a bunch of guys in the Rumble, the people will get behind him.
I would agree with that, but bro, they got a lot of big guys in that company right now. Bro, that match at Crown Jewel had Kross versus Drew, big man match. Brock versus Bobby, big man match. Omos versus Braun, big man match. You know, it's like, you know, they got a lot of big men there right now. And I'm telling you what, it's like, I like it. I think it's good TV. I think it's refreshing to see them focusing on big guys. You know, it's like, because they're larger than life, you know, so. Next one's from Fall Vampire, and the subject is Gunther versus Woods. Billy keeps saying that people don't give him credit for getting stories right, but maybe you guys should advise him not to constantly insult the K100 audience then. He needs us way more than we need him.
Good luck with that.
So anyway, Xavier Woods is on his Instagram account this morning. He was saying that he has, and I quote, been campaigning backstage for an IC title run in 2023. What do you guys think is a realistic possibility of a Gunther versus Woods match at WrestleMania? I mean, like, Woods, he's been around for a while, but making him IC champion isn't a bad idea, but at the same time, it don't seem as a game changer. On the other hand, Gunther is awesome as IC champion, but I think he should be moved into the top title scene in 2023. So maybe losing the IC title to Woods at Mania would be a bad move. What do you guys think? If you're actually thinking, if you've asked me if I'm invested in Woods versus Gunther, I need to see a lot more first, because that's not just off the top of your head. That's not compelling to me. And I'm sure it's not compelling to Conan either.
I love Woods, but I wouldn't have Gunther lose to him. They're still building him, and they're doing a combined job.
Right. And Gunther's another big guy.
Yeah.
You know, that has big boy matches and stuff. So next is from this is kind of interesting, right? That what we're seeing now is the fruition of, remember years, 5-6 years ago, when all WWE was doing was picking up guys that had to be like 6'3", 250, like minimum.
Yeah, in the mid-2000s.
And it's like all of a sudden now we're seeing like, okay, when they started doing that, now we're seeing like, well, it's actually more recent that they made a pitch towards, you know, big guys. But we're seeing the big guys on TV.
Yeah.
Braun, Omos, Cross.
Drew.
Drew's been around too long.
Oh, yeah.
Not Drew. Gunther.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, bro, it's larger than life characters. Kids look up to people like that. You know, they look like, wow, I've never seen a guy this big. When you walk in a room, like kids go to shows and see all these big guys. It's like, where do kids ever really see big guys? You know, like that's why it's good to have big guys in your show.
Right.
Next is from Heath N. Subject is your favorite, least favorite times of the road. Hey guys, an avid listener to the show here, and I have a question for both Disco and K-Dog. What was your most memorable moments on the road, and also your least favorite moments? And lastly, kind of off topic, whatever happened to Das Wonder Kid Alex Wright? Do you guys keep in touch at all? Thanks. He has a wrestling school in Germany. He's doing very well. We need to get him on the show. Sure, try and work on that.
Alex, sure thing.
Yeah. All right. And favorite time is on the road was after. Here's the favorite time of the road. After the show was basically our favorite time on the road. Would you agree with that, Conan?
Yes.
Yeah, we go club. We could give you stories, bro. We just like any town we went to.
Being on the road was a blast with your boys, hitting after hours, stopping at eateries, you know, sharing stories in the car. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. All that.
And least favorite would be going to the show and they're not doing nothing with you.
Especially Sturgis, if they were doing something with you.
Next is from Josh Stone, and the subject is, has the WWE production slightly fallen off since VK is no longer in control of everything? With the Tyson Fury Drew signing skit that was not supposed to air, plus all the last two cage matches are way harder to see. Instead of cutting holes in the chain link fence for the camera to fit through, they now air the cage matches so you see the fencing. It takes away from the product, and I'm sure Vince would be going crazy over this. There are also way more uncensored F-word chants or FCC curse words from the audience during SmackDown. No way control freak Vince would allow this. Maybe there's a reason why Vince kept production on their toes, and that's from Josh. Josh, you're way off.
Yeah,
I see absolutely nothing wrong with their production. As a matter of fact, I thought Crown Jewel exemplified how good their production is. With their way the lighting, it just looked like an unbelievable... Like it's like, bro, WWE, like, you know, like, let's be honest. You know, other than the Super Bowl... Does anybody do big events better than the WWE?
No,
they really don't.
You know, the big three is the Super Bowl, UFC, and WWE.
And WWE is in these stadiums.
And NFL, too. I forgot about
that. That's what I'm saying. But that's, you know, yeah. But they do them in stadiums.
Yeah.
With this big production and big – it's like, yeah. Bro, you know, like when you go to EDC, like EDC's multi-million-dollar production looks unbelievable. Like if you look at the clips of like the stages and everything, bro, WWE is just like that.
Right.
You know, and you go to the EDC, you got to pay like $400 a ticket. You know, WWE, bro, that's why WWE charges a bank, is because you're paying to see an unbelievable production. So, of course, the production has not diminished since that day. Actually, it gets better year over year, regardless of whether Vince is there or not. You watch. That's the way it'll go.
Yeah, that was a little bit more nitpicking, you know?
Right. Next is from Charles Ballard, and the subject is Ray the Underdog. What up, K100 crew? I'm watching SmackDown. I was very excited to see Rey Mysterio face off with Gunther for the IC title. I liked how the match was built, and I liked how it felt like a big deal. I like how the IC belt feels like a workhorse title reign. My only problem with the match is I feel the commentary team sold as Rey as the underdog in this match. Of course I get because Rey size, he would seem like the underdog in every match, but at this point in his career, he's a veteran against almost anyone he faces. He's accomplished so much from winning the Royal Rumble to winning the WWE title and facing some of the all-time greats like Cena, Taker, Kane, Orton, Angle, and so on. No disrespect to Gunther, but he seems like he's the underdog against Rey, being still early what looks like to be a long career in wrestling. And do you think Rey should still be sold as an underdog, or do you think that the younger talent should put some respect on his name? Bro, Rey's the underdog because there's an obvious size difference in between the two wrestlers, and the announcers are selling the obvious size difference between the two wrestlers. And that's the way you should tell the story, because like that's what people, when you're turning the channel and you're looking this on TV, that's what you're selling. That was kind of a dumb question. You got any comment on this, Conan? This
yeah, the same
question?
Thing. The same thing you just said. You know, the guy's the champion. He's bigger than him. You know, and obviously Ray's going to be the underdog.
Right.
I think they treat Ray way better than they did before. Mm-hmm. And they're booking him way better than they did before.
Next is from Charles Ballard, and the subject is Ray the Underdog. Oh, no, excuse me. Next one is, oh, God, here we go. Theo Kim Combo. Second tier title belts is the subject. What's good, K100 crew? Tonight's SmackDown featured one of the best IC title matches I've seen on free TV. Rey Mysterio and Gunther put on a classic big man versus little man brawl that had the live audience going. Seth Rollins is the U.S. champ, and Ron, we all know his greatness. Clearly, Triple H has put a huge focus on the underneath championship belts. Could Disco and Conan please speak to how important it is for wrestling promotions' secondary championships to be relevant? Well, yeah, they don't have a lot of titles in the WWE. This is why the secondary belts are important and why they are a big deal. You know, it's like they have three belts, right? U.S., well, besides the tag belts, you get the U.S. title, the heavyweight title, and the Intercontinental.
I see, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, which is the way that's the way it should be.
Because 24/7's gone, or so it seems.
Right.
And
they got rid of the dumb title. Those three titles are far more prestigious than any title, I think, that's on the AEW show right now.
More so than the AEW world title?
Well, is Seth Rollins more over than who's he? Who's Moxley. The U.S. title and the IC title?
U.S. is Rollins. IC is Gunther, I believe.
Okay, and Roman Reigns. Where would you rank John Moxley out of those four?
Over Gunther, under Rollins and Reigns.
Over Gunther, huh?
Yeah, I'd say so.
Yeah, I guess maybe you could say that, yeah. But definitely, who would you rank higher, Conan? Rollins is the U.S. champion or Moxley is the WWE champion or the AEW champion?
I don't know. I think Rollins.
What do you use in AAA as secondary heavyweight belts, Conan?
Don't count the tag or the trios. So it's just a single belts.
Including the women?
No, men. The men's side.
Okay. The Mega Championship, that's the main one. The Latin American and the Cruiserweight. So really three.
Yeah, it's good. That's the way it should be. We only got
15 fucking belts.
Right. next is from John Ammon. The subject is two-part question. Sullivan Benoit brawl matches and other good brawls. Hey, Conan Disco Joe. I was just wondering what your thoughts were on the matches the late Benoit had with Kevin Sullivan. I mean, I think of Great American Bash 96 and Bash of the Beach 97, although I know there were others. Those were great brawls. Some must have great brawls or a lost art. Perhaps Jeff Jarrett can show the guys at AEW how to have a good brawl without being illogical and having a CZW-XPW type match. Thanks, and that's from John M. Bro, that's one thing that like we did well back in the days. We brawled a lot. But you had to know how to brawl because the NWO was brawling with – there were massive brawls like all the time. And if you couldn't brawl, it looked like shit. And so everybody knew kind of how to brawl. You know, everybody knew throw punches, everybody threw them with smoke and stuff. It just looked more like the brawls back then looked far more chaotic than they do today, which is what a brawl should look like, you know? And Benoit was excellent at it too. Benoit could brawl.
Yeah.
Benoit was an excellent brawler.
And like Sullivan was too.
You know?
As a fan, that you knew that those matches were going to be something different and interesting, you know, because it was those street fights back then were different than anything else on the card. They weren't commonplace.
Right.
So Benoit and Sullivan wrestling in the bathroom and shit, you never seen anything like that, you know?
Right. Cody, what did you think?
Yeah, those were great. They were creative. Great brawls outside the box. Fans loved them. There was like a degree of realism to them, you know? That's the wrestling I like.
Right. Me too. Conan.
What up?
I get it. You want to raise your testosterone, but do any of these boosters actually work?
To tell you the truth, Disco, I don't know. I only use legacy subs, and let me tell you this. This is empirical shit. I went to get my testosterone levels done before I was using legacy subs, and they was very low, and then afterwards it did increase, so it does work.
Yeah, Test X9 works. And don't just take legacy subs' word for it. They show you how with links to independent studies on every single one of the 9 key ingredients. No bull, no bro science, just facts. TexX9 is an NSF-certified third-party lab tested made in the USA. Level up your strength, energy, libido, and drive now with TestX9 from Legacy Sports Nutrition. If you want to really level up, go for the ultimate test stack, adding T-Assist, a pro-grade estrogen inhibitor and test enhancer, and the best-selling sleep aid, Recovery PM, the show's favorite, and see why improving your sleep is the key to unlocking your mental and physical potential. Guys, did you know that the majority of testosterone release occurs while you sleep? That's why we put this stuff together and why it really works. Stop setting for average, go to legacysubs.com and use the code K100 for 10% off your entire order. And if you subscribe to have it shipped every 30 days, you can still get the discount every single time. It's brought to you by 3-time world champion Nick Aldis and 10-time world champion Mickie James, who develop and use these products themselves. LEGACYSUPPS.com. Level up with legacy, and the code is K100.
And let me tell you, we've been doing business with Nick for a while now. This is one of our most requested items. People always buy all his supplements because they work. Or if not, he would have left our show a long time ago. We use them and they work. And it's not just this testosterone. They've got stuff for your memory, for your energy, for sleeping. Go check them out at Legacy Supps. Boom.
Next is from Aaron Campos, and the subject is LA Park versus Parka. Aaron from Mexico here. Hey guys, my question is for Conan. What was the original finish for Parka versus Park, name versus name at Triple Mania?
Well, since you're from Mexico, I'm going to give you a little bit of more info than I usually do, but I've gone over this at least four or five times. So if you go into our catalog, somewhere in there, LA Park versus Park, mm-hmm. I go way more deeper than I'm about to.
Okay.
But this was originally my idea. Nobody wanted to work with LA Park. I had to convince the office and Parka. It was very difficult to work with him. He was making a lot of demands. He was throwing temper tantrums. He kept bringing up the fact that Antonio Peña double-crossed him in Triple Mania 1. I'm not too sure what the fuck he was referring to. And I was like, well, I don't think Peña would have had to double-cross you if you would have done business. But anyways, he was threatening everybody if he lost, and it was a real pain in the ass. So he had to go over. I remember that. And I had booked the whole thing, filmed vignettes, had everything ready. And then at the end, somebody who shall remain nameless, but is in the other things, I do mention it, and Park decided to come up with the finish on their own without telling me, and went into the room and gave one of the most illogical, convoluted bullshit finishes I've ever seen. I was super furious. And they tried to blame it all on the Commission of Mexico. They were like, oh, the Commission will handle this. And the Commission, of course, they were like, why are you throwing this in our lap? You know, it was a complete major fuck up. And here's the worst part. When Park came back, this group called Los Perros del Mal came back.
Wait, the Dogs of War? What does Mal mean?
Bad.
Bad dogs.
Yeah.
Okay.
And our ratings went up. Like, we actually passed WWE and CMLL for the first time in years. Bro, after that match, after that show, our ratings went back down. And they had, like, a big meeting. And they tried to, like, blame it on me. And I was like, yeah, fuck all that. You will not be blaming this shit on me.
Right.
So, explanation.
I'm blaming you. I think it was your fault, though.
Well, I wouldn't have come up with something that idiotic. Let's just say that.
So that's the story?
That is the story.
All right, next one. I'm not going to read this article, but there's a guy, Michael Kupak, in the subject. K100 topic talks topic suggestion. I'll send this to you, but I'll read the email, but I'll send you this. You can look at this article, see if we want to talk about for K100 talks. I'd love to know someone like Glenn's opinion on, quote, pandemic amnesty, unquote, considering he was one of the first people to be openly questioning what the quote-unquote experts are saying. I had a lot of the same thoughts Disco did when I did nothing but ask, quote, what about this instead, unquote. I was vilified and told I'm not following the science and I need to listen to the experts. And now this article apology is saying that people like myself and Glenn were right all along, quote, unquote, are bad. That's what they're saying. Bro, my whole thing was, you know, and like I said, just – just because an expert is on TV doesn't mean there's not other experts you can gain information from. And it was crazy during the pandemic that other experts were, you know, kicked off Twitter for not agreeing with what the TV people were saying and stuff. And so it was like, you know, and I just saw from the original get go when the original data came out that 94% of people that were suffering from pandemic had comorbidities or were over obese or overweight, which meant that only 6% of like healthy people were being affected by it. I was like, this, you know, this looks like it's affecting, it's not really affecting healthy, fit people. And you can sit there and like, oh, you get attacked for that. I was like, I just look at the data, you know, it's like, I mean, so I don't know. I don't want to go back to the pandemic again, but like, I just think it's fascinating, you know, and I don't want to say I told you so, because like my position didn't really change when the pandemic first started. We all got scared. You know, we were sorting things out. And then when he started getting the information, the data, and it became kind of clear, and people were still pushing fear and stuff. And things like, why are they doing this? You know, why are they not telling every person what your risk factor is? Why are they not telling, you know, if you're a kid, 20 years old, and you're fit, and you're in good shape, you know, you shouldn't be scared and frightened of COVID. You know, why aren't we telling, hey, if you're overweight, you need to start dieting and exercise right now because COVID is hitting you way harder than other people. And just the whole messaging of the coming out of that, I think it is, you know, it's kind of weird. It makes you very skeptical of the government and the government medical, the CDC, of the why were they delivering a narrative like that?
Especially when they pushed the vaccine so hard that was supposed to prevent transmission, which we know now wasn't the case.
Well, they lied, yeah. When the whole thing came out, when they were saying you're not going to get COVID, in retrospective, like that was a complete lie.
Yep. Yep.
And I'm like, you know, okay, so the next time this happens, I'm going to reference this. You know, so why should we trust you guys going forward? That would be what I would say. And why, the fact that skeptics were trying to be silenced is crazy. You know, a brand new virus came out. We do nothing about something. And you're just getting the government's take, you know, do this, do this, do this, do this. And other people are saying, wait a second, there's other information here. And you're skeptical, like, and you're being like yelled at. Like, that's ridiculous. You know, sometimes skepticism and conspiracy theories, you know, not all the conspiracy theories are lies. You know, some of the conspiracy theories are true, which is why it's like I never dismiss information that looks credible from people that they hear it from. You know?
And you couldn't get away with saying anything that was inquisitive or critical because you'd be called a COVID denier or vax denier when you're just asking questions. You know,
you're just asking questions. You're making statements. What is it? Here's data. This data is pointing to a certain fact, and like you're telling me it's not a fact. What's going on here? You know. So, what about you, Conan?
Yeah, bro. I'm so over COVID. They there was a lot of misinformation, and they fucked up the economy.
Yep.
And they really fucked up a lot of things.
They fucked up a lot of people's lives.
Nobody got, as usual, nobody went to jail for it. Nobody got, nothing happened.
Especially, yeah,
as happens in politics.
I mean, and who gets the finger pointed at them, or who's going to have to answer for the fact that all these young people are getting myocarditis, or there's, you know, birth defects and all that? Nobody. Nothing's going to happen.
Hopefully Elon Musk is going to. It's like Elon Musk said, factual information will never be censored on social media again, on Twitter, which is good. We need to do. Twitter was the perfect place to debate this stuff. And they literally were silencing the people that wanted to debate the stuff on the social, on the public square. It's crazy, you know. That's authoritarianism. Remember what I said? That's what's like. Okay, we want to control the information. We want to tell you what you're supposed to know. We don't want to listen to other people. That's authoritarianism. You know, if you want a basic definition of it. So, next one's from Sunganda Chanko, and the subject is veterans and young wrestlers. Hey, K100 crew, wishing you all well, even Joe.
Thank you.
I think it's an accepted fact that the work in modern wrestling is as good as previous generations. That is more evident in AEW than in WWE. AEW work a more dangerous and less reality-based style. However, do you guys think the standard of work is down to the fact that wrestlers don't go on the road together anymore, where veterans can talk to the young guys in the car, teach them the psychology of the work? WWE still does 4 shows a week, so that gives the young guys a chance to get on the job training. And NXT does a 2-day loop as well almost every weekend. Can you guys recall any lessons you learned in the car with the vets? I learned a lot driving with, you know, Raven, with Terry Taylor, with Jake the Snake. Like those are the three guys I learned most from. But bro, here's the difference between the work today and then, bro, the work today could be is, you know, I think our work was better. It could be better because they need to, if they embrace the skills of throwing punches and making it look like you could fight, like the work would be better, and it just would. Like punching, good looking punches, everybody's gotten lazy with the basics. Not for striking. Now all they do is stand there and just do these forearms that nobody sells. That's striking. When striking back in my day was you punch the guy, he'd punch you back, punch the guy, punch you. Bro, Conan and Vampiro a couple years ago did a better 1-2 punch exchange than like 90% of the wrestlers in AEW could do. And just stand there, punch a guy back. Remember that spot, Conan?
Yeah.
When you hit the ring, punch.
Awesome.
Bro, the people pop on that. And you can't find a handful of wrestlers that could do that spot today. You know, they make it look decent, you know? What do you think about that, Conan?
Yeah, no, you're right. And I think one of the things that is missing is those long car trips, because I learned a lot from Jake in the car. Nash and Hall. Those were the guys that I probably learned the most from. And I would say maybe Luger.
Right.
But, you know, it was great because you would go in to talk about psychology or after. Remember, like after the show, they would have a rerun of the show and you would watch the show in your room with them and they'd go mm-hmm. over the matches with you.
Yeah.
Or if somebody had the gimmick, like DDP had a camera and he'd record everything right. and he'd let you watch your matches back and you could go over it with people. That's right. missing.
Right. Yeah, the doing the loops, going on the road, right. and spending six right. days on the road. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, and if you think about it, if you guys would have had 20 or so matches a month back then between TV and house shows and Saturday night and everything, you know, some of these AEW towns might not have 20 matches a year.
Well, I mean, bro, they used to do it like this. You would go on the road with the guy for a few weeks and work with them, and then you'd go on TV and work with them.
Yeah.
So you'd have your matches. So you'd tweak, you work things out, and you tweak your match, and you get what you get, you know?
Yeah.
Hi, Conan, Kiwi, and Scruffy Joe. Just notice I'm watching lots of WCW shows and WWE shows.
Wait one second. It's not my fucking name.
No, he said Conan, Kiwi, and Scruffy Joe. So he called your name, but he called me Kiwi. Yeah, we're going to suspend
this
guy.
That's okay.
Oh, you're beat, Dave.
He's talking about my facial hair, so this will probably be suspension. Oh, it's definitely going to be suspended when you read this. You ready?
Yeah.
Just noticed I'm watching lots of WCW shows and WWA shows. Glenn has never really been a fan of facial hair. In late 90s, he sported some stubble, but it looks like 100% of you wrestling years, you never had any facial hair. Was there a reason for this or just not your thing? Some people are saying online that you're just addicted to the blade.
Ooh, that's definitely a suspension.
Thanks. The Fig Bat King, King Taylor. That's a suspension. Conan, is that a suspension?
100%. Just so you think, if you think you're coming to my page to troll me by saying anything about addicted to my blade, you're just kind of being a dick. So I'm going to be a dick right back, which, as you know, I have no problem being. And you're going to be blocked.
Yeah,
so
let's block that.
Any addicted to the blade bullshit stupidity, any get my go fucking stupidity is going to be blocked.
Let's block them all.
I actually like them. I like Durbin and I actually like Joe, but still, I think their topics of conversation are idiotic.
Right. For grown men.
Yes.
Next is William Thomas.
Hang on. Can I answer Fig Bath King's question about why you didn't have facial hair?
No.
I
think I have the answer.
Well, why would you have it if he's asking Glenn?
No, let's hear Joe's answer.
Okay, please, well, please be bad so I can kazoo you.
If Disco Inferno was obviously based off John Travolta in Staying Alive and Saturday Night Fever, did he ever have a fucking beard? No. So why would Disco have a beard?
No, but the Bee Gees had beards though, so I could have liked them. But I just liked I just shaved. I just I thought I had a pretty face, so I would shave.
And a beard wouldn't fit Disco Inferno. The cat.
As you get older, you find out
he actually
girls
does
like,
look good girls, in a beard. I've seen him in a beard.
Girls dig
facial
hair.
Glenn can get away with just about any look he wants.
Yeah, and back then, facial hair wasn't really a thing on a lot of people. You know,
no.
Right?
The
goatee was a deal. Like not like the scruff, you know, the scruff
right,
like
it is now. Yeah,
right. Conan,
what up?
I get it. You want to raise your testosterone, but do any of these boosters actually work?
To tell you the truth, Disco, I don't know. I only use legacy subs. And let me tell you this. This is empirical shit. I went to get my testosterone levels done before I was using legacy subs, and it was very low. And then afterwards, it did increase. So it does work.
Yeah, Test X9 works. And don't just take legacy subs' word for it. They show you how, with links to independent studies on every single one of the 9 key ingredients. No bull, no bro science, just facts. Test X9 is an NSF-certified third-party lab tested made in the USA. Level up your strength, energy, libido, and drive now with Test X9 from Legacy Sports Nutrition. If you want to really level up, go for the ultimate test deck, adding T-Assist, a pro-grade estrogen inhibitor and test enhancer, and the best-selling sleep aid, Recovery PM, the show's favorite, and see why improving your sleep is the key to unlocking your mental and physical potential. Guys, did you know that the majority of testosterone release occurs while you sleep? That's why we put this stuff together and why it really works. Stop setting for average, go to legacysubs.com and use the code K100 for 10% off your entire order. And if you subscribe to have it shipped every 30 days, you can still get the discount every single time. It's brought to you by 3-time world champion Nick Aldis and 10-time world champion Mickey James, who developed and used these products themselves. LegacySupps.com. Level up with Legacy, and the code is K100.
And let me tell you, we've been doing business with Nick for a while now. This is one of our most requested items. People always buy all his supplements because they work. Or if not, he would have left our show a long time ago. We use them and they work. And it's not just this testosterone. They've got stuff for your memory, for your energy, for sleeping. Go check them out at Legacy Supps. Boom.
Next is from William Thomas, and the subject is Critique of Lucha Libre. Hello, Conan, Disco, and Joe. You have amazing content and great pro wrestling knowledge. Speaking of which, how do you feel about Lucha Libre getting criticized for his high-flying, amazing, acrobatic nature? Sincerely, William. Well, I criticize it for his high-flying, amazing, acrobatic nature. I'm from the States. I grew up in American wrestling. I'm sure if I grew up in Mexico and I was watching Lucha Libre growing up, everything that would be my – that style is what I would like, everything. But, like, I, you know, Lucha Libre to me, growing up in American style, is just sometimes it's too choreographed and acrobatic to look like pro wrestling is based on fighting and wrestling. But Lucha Libre is based on kind of like – I don't know. What would the word I would use to describe here? If it's based on action, I guess, would be the best way to describe – like the style they embrace. Would that be a good way to describe it? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, and plus the characters are dressed like superheroes. So they're doing kind of like a lot of superhero type moves that superheroes would do, you know? Would you agree with that? That's kind of a thing, I guess.
It's just a cultural thing, right? So, yeah. You know, just like you look at cricket and you're like, what the fuck's going on? But in Pakistan, they love it.
England, they love it too.
And so it's just a cultural thing.
Like, who is the Aaron Judge of cricket?
I don't know.
Google that, Joe, while we're doing this. The Aaron Judge of cricket, or the Otani of cricket, or the Mike Trout of cricket. See if there's like some, you know. Next is from Tommy Herman, and the subject is a vegan future. What's up, K100? Greetings from Israel. Wow, Israel.
We were ranked very high in Israel.
Obviously, if we got this guy. I've noticed more and more restaurants offering veggie vegan options. Also, more and more people I know have stopped eating meat. If I think back 10 to 15 years ago, I maybe knew one person who was a vegetarian. That person was even made fun for it. From what I can tell, there's a clear trend towards meatless diet here in Europe. I lived in London for a few years. And do you think that 50 years from now, people look back and think, how could I have eaten meat?
No.
Will the world go vegetarian vegan in the future? Is this just another aspect of the snowflake generation? Lastly, could you imagine giving up on meat? No. The meat generation will die off.
Yeah.
Like, we'll all die. But we're not going to stop eating meat 50, 60 years in our life and you know, stuff and things. It's just going to, like, this new generation is just going to be more vegan and stuff and thing. And I'm, you know, but, like, bro, it's like, you know, the meat eating was kind of like, you know, we're carnivores. Like, the caveman diet, the caveman ate meat and veggies.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, that's not, they didn't, you know, they ate vegan, but, like, there's nothing wrong with eating meat. Unless, like, you think, you know, these added, like, I've always said this, like, the people that are into the animal activism and, like, farming of, you know, the way they slaughter the animals and stuff and thing, I would say this is that we're an intelligent species, but let's, like, say, for instance, hypothetically speaking, you've seen a movie like The Planet of the Apes, or the planet where the apes are intelligent, right? I would profess that our species, okay, that if we were not as intelligent, there was another more intelligent species than us, they would round us up and do the same way if they were going to eat us. And animals do try to eat human beings. Like, if a lion's out in the thing and the lion attacks a human, that they try to eat you. You know, so it's like the cycle of nature where, you know, species try to, like, eat each other. And so I would think, like, if another intelligent species found an efficient way to like harvest our, you know, harvest us for food, they would do it in the most efficient way, which is what we do with animals. You know, with the chickens and the cows and the pigs, you know, that's just the way we do it, because we got to find an efficient way to feed billions of people. You know, what do you say about that, Conan?
You're muted, bud. You're still muted, Conan.
Yeah. I said that it's hard to tell, but with all these impossible burgers now that you see, and
they're terrible, by the way,
plant-based foods having an uptick for health reasons, I can see it exponentially growing. Mm. You know, and things like hummus are starting to become big, and couscous and Mediterranean things and healthier diets. People want to live longer.
What's the best steakhouse or steakhouses you guys have been to, or whether it's around the country or around the world?
Oh, just trying. I can't even. Any steakhouse in Vegas is great.
I think you'll do fine at Denny's.
Gene and Giorgetti's in Chicago, I used to like too a lot.
Mm-hmm. Send them to Denny's Disco. That's right up his alley. Oof. And get a cheese steak.
Disgusting
cheese whiz
steak.
Fucking right. Vomit burger, or whatever the fuck it was that he showed us.
It's a pizza steak.
Well, what do you think about John Fetterman becoming the senator over Oz?
It's a mess. And then not only did Fetterman win after his public performances and, you know, his suspect work, we've actually voted in a dead guy. Pennsylvania voted in a dead guy, too. So.
Who?
Let me find his name. So Fetterman and a dead guy both won last night.
So this is what I thought was funny about Fetterman. It's like, bro, if you you're going to apply for a job, okay, and you got your job interview, and like, you know, you're sitting at the desk, you're doing your job interview with John Fetterman, or you're doing your job interview with Dr. Oz, like that. Like, if Fetterman's the owner of the company or Dr. Oz is the owner of the company, it's like, well, which would you feel more comfortable, like, you know, like working for? Plus, you know, the guy that's got the mental issues. I just thought that was hysterical that Philadelphia thought a guy with mental issues, like with his mental capacity is not there, would rather have him.
Well, he doesn't have mental issues. He had a stroke.
Yeah, which causes mental issues. Like, he forgets things and misspeaks and stuff. Those are mental issues.
But he isn't like a fucking disabled guy.
Well, he's a moron, but he's a moron. But he was a moron before that. He wasn't like a guy that did anything in his life or accomplished anything. Nah. And as opposed to a doctor.
Yeah, in his town, he's been mayor of this Braddock, Pennsylvania, and it's a shithole.
Yeah, you know,
why is he getting promoted? You know,
he was the mayor of a town that didn't have a grocery store.
Yeah, man, he'd never worked till he was 40.
Right, he never worked. He did like his parents. He lived off his parents, and like people would rather have him represented than instead of a doctor. Like, I thought that was hysterical.
It's a disaster,
what
man.
It's not my state though, so you guys deal with him.
Fucked.
So.
Yeah, and this guy was a Democrat. His name was Anthony DeLuca, Pennsylvania.
He's dead.
Pennsylvania's longest-serving state rep. 85% of the votes went his way, and he's been dead for a month.
That's hysterical.
So they'd rather vote for a dead guy than and they always say you could run anything with the D next to it and fucking right. You know, but whatever.
Eden axe wound, subject to Sammy's stuff going too far. Everyone agrees that Sami Zayn stuff has been very entertaining, funny, but really, what the F is going on here? These days, Roman Reigns turns up on TV every 3 to 5 weeks to do comedy sketch with Sammy. While it's funny stuff, how is this good for business? Shouldn't Roman be cutting promos on Cody, Wyatt, The Rock, or anyone so that we can build towards huge ticket-selling stadium shows in 2023? Again, I'm not one of those old Bloodline sucks guys, but I just think that a lot of TV time, especially the last few months because no one gives a shit about Logan Paul versus Roman, is being wasted for the sake of comedy. What do you three guys think? Ian Axwood, I don't think you could be more wrong. So I would say that this guy is completely incorrect. It's not just these aren't just comedy sketches. They're furthering a storyline. It's making it to the point the fans are chanting for Sami Zayn.
Yeah,
they're building characters. What are you not seeing that everybody else is obviously seeing?
And he said,
"Mr. Eden Axwell."
He said, "I'm not one of those Bloodline sucks guys." Are there any Bloodline sucks guys right now? I mean, I think
probably AEW fans. Yeah. That, like, you know, yeah, wow. I don't know. Who knows? What do you think about that email?
Yeah, I'm a big fan of good comedy thrown in every now and then, like they're doing now.
Right. It's funny. When it's funny, it's good.
Right. And it's funny.
Yeah. Next is from Dale Fortunio, and the subject is tag team back again. What's this picture here? This one. I don't know why he put this in here. Maybe it's got an issue.
Oh, no.
Sup, fellas. The Usos, the Acclaimed, Street Profits, FTR, etc., are now in the forefront of the tag team divisions. This is nice to see now since we have less and less pairings of just two random stars in a tag team together with people like Keith Lee and Swerve serving their purpose. You have teams like the Insufferable Damage Control on the other side of the aisle with no chemistry and energy whatsoever. Do you believe we are having more of an emphasis now on established tag teams taking over again? When do you think that trend of random guys just teaming together for tag belts really started taking over in your opinion? Conan, you answer this.
What's the question?
When do you think that trend of random guys just teaming together for tag belts really started taking over, in your opinion? And do you believe we're having more of an emphasis now on established tag teams taking over again?
Bro, I never noticed if it did, and I don't really give a shit about that question. I'm sorry to be a dick.
Yeah, I don't care about it.
Do you got anything? Were either of you guys on the WCW Bruise Cruise that he asked about?
Well, he asked about the Bruise Cruise?
I wish you were on it so I could throw you overboard.
Where did he ask about the Bruise Cruise?
At the end of his email. Can you please describe it?
Oh, I missed this.
Can you please describe
the debacle known as the WCW Cruise pictured here? Although they were fun. There was always a lot of hot. When we had the Bruise Cruise, there was always hot chicks on the cruise. like a decent amount of them. It wasn't like your typical like I can imagine the Jericho Cruise looked like your typical 2020 fan base of like weird looking, you know, neck beards and stuff. But like there was a lot of hot chicks on the WCW cruise, and there were a lot of cool. There were a lot of partiers too. We had a good time on those. Were you on any of those, Conan?
No, no.
Oh, yeah, they were great. They were awesome.
Well, remember Jericho got some backlash from Ryan Satin because he went on Twitter and said, we have, you know, 32% girls. That's going to be a lot of bikinis or something in Ryan Satin.
Yeah, remember Ryan Satin's virtue signal, like, oh, you're promoting girls in bikinis? Yeah, it's a freaking cruise. Next is from Meech and Sirleaf, and the subject is, does Jericho hold all the backstage power now? K100, what's going on? I was going to get your thoughts on the midterm elections, given how the GOP woefully underperformed. But an article – actually, the GOP has not woefully underperformed yet because it could still win the Senate and the House.
Yeah, the House.
Which was the original plan.
I think the House is pretty locked up, but you never know.
Right. If they lose both, it's a woeful underperformance.
Well, it looks like it's going to come down to the Georgia race with Herschel Walker and whatnot. They're going to have a – what do you call it? What do they call it when you vote?
Runoff.
Yeah.
Okay, next is from I was going to get your thoughts on midterm and KKK, but an article caught my eye and fuels a lot of speculation. Chris Jericho's on Howie Mandel's podcast. Oh, really? And the all-out press brawl scrum was brought up for discussion. It's hard to avoid his soundbite. Let me see. Do you got it, Joe?
He says there was a locker room fight that happened a couple of months ago between a couple of guys. When these things happen, you have to deal with them. Sometimes the way to deal with it is guys just have to not be there anymore. It happens. Sure, it does. If you're casting a movie and you hate your co-star, either you make it work, do your job, put on a great performance, and never talk to each other again, or you leave the project. It's that simple. If there are people you have a problem with, which I've had over the years, not a lot, but this guy can rub me the wrong way, he's a fucking asshole, whatever, you still have to put on a good show. Sometimes you have fights in the locker room and that sort of thing. It's a big team. Sometimes guys get in the fights. Sometimes guys just have the wrong attitude for how to make the team work. That's how you have to look at it. Sometimes guys just have to leave.
He's not wrong. I mean, he's kind of spot on there. Sometimes guys just have to leave. When there's a problem in the locker room, if it can't get fixed, either they got to go or one has got to go. Correct, Conan?
When this first came up, I said, you need to get rid of people that are unprofessional and don't come to work. I think Jericho is a good locker room leader because he's been there a lot of years and he knows everybody and everybody respects him. So he's somebody that could help. I don't know how much power he actually has.
Next is from Dan. The subject is keeping it real. Conan, it seems like every episode I listen to, I learn about or gain some insight from your experiences. I grew up as a wrestling fan, NWA, WWF, ECW, and didn't know much about the rich history of wrestling in Mexico. Thank you for being such an integral part of bringing a white boy like me up to speed on a unique flavor of pro wrestling. Ever since WCW introduced the lucha wrestlers, I love watching the incorporation of styles. Disco, you are also on the show, I guess. Props, that's Dan in Michigan. Dan, thank you for that email, but you're going to get suspended because you didn't ask a question. So you took up this wasted a little bit of our time putting this over. But if you don't have a question, this is Joe. Well, read the email address again.
Oh, I came under K100Questions@gmail.com.
What's the keyword?
Questions.
Right. So you got to ask a question. Next is from Terrence Rank. The subject is WWE question for Conan, AW question for Disco. Good morning, gentlemen. I'm Terrence Rank from Cape Town, South Africa. I'm a fan of the show for years, as well as I watched you, gentlemen, as a teenager in the 90s. Question for Conan. Has WWE approached you to add to the Mysterio storyline in the future because it's not a big payoff? You have a deep history to Rey, adding you would just make sense and add extra layers to what we are seeing. And question for Disco. I really hate your voice, but your wrestling mind is what's missing in AEW. They have very good wrestling legends and the matches are good, but that's all we get these days. I don't even watch AEW. I wait for reviews and then watch it. They should approach you and make you their main writer for the top talent because Moxley can talk and a few others, but I'm completely not invested in them, including MJF. CA Punk comes off as an asshole, but at least he takes him on a journey. Miro has a redeemer gimmick not shown on television and more character work from all of them. First of all, my answer is I don't have an answer because you didn't ask me a question. So you're going to get suspended, Terrence Rank, for 1 week from the mailbag. You basically said what they should do, but you didn't ask me anything. Okay. Did he ask me a question? I can't see a question here. Yeah,
no question.
They should make you a writer for the top talent. He actually had a statement for me and a question for Conan. So that's misinformation because your statement was a question. Your question was a statement, so that's misinformation. So what do we do with emails that have misinformation?
Suspended.
For a week. Yep. Next is from Mitch Polacek, and the subject is Brady mailbag question. What's up, Conan, Disco, and Joe? I want to apologize in advance for the long question. Last mailbag, Conan spoke of wrestlers using quote, white magic for healing and such. Mm-hmm. And it reminded me of a situation that might be playing out before our very eyes in the biggest sport in America and arguably the biggest name in sport, Tom Brady. In 2019, Tom Brady was interviewed by CBS Boston saying his wife, Gisele Bündchen, told him he's lucky he married a good witch. In the same interview, he goes on to state that he has healing stones and protection stones, and she has him take drops, she makes and recite mantras. With all this, I did not know this. With all this said, it's hard to completely disqualify the possibility of witchcraft being involved with the longevity and high level play in Brady's career. Last season, he had an MVP caliber season while married to Bündchen. Prior to the season, news broke that the marriage was on the rocks, and a few weeks ago, they divorced. To say Brady has struggled this season would be a massive understatement. I can't help but wonder if she's quit using her powers on him or possibly put a hex on him. Finally, my question. Do you think there may be something to the story of Brady and witchcraft? Thanks, Mitch from Wahoo. Well, if you're looking at the data here, that he was married to her all this long and she was giving him reciting mantras and making him take drops of his healing stones and he was great. And like this year he's divorced and he's not. The data would point to the possibility that, you know, they're into some weird stuff that he's not into anymore. Maybe it's costing him, you know? What do you think?
Yeah, first time I've ever heard this, so I really don't even know what to say.
Next one's from some Gano Chanko again. You're going to get a suspension because two mils, one thing. Roster issues. Good day, K100 crew. I've heard your reviews. I think we all agree that in large parts, WWE has been good this year, but Triple H has become a little more serious and logical. However, I do notice that he trends to rely on a lot of the same talent to fill up large amounts of time in the show, especially on Raw. I think Raw right now is struggling with main event star power and fresh faces. Seth, Judgment Day, OC, Lashley, and Riddle are great, but they can't carry the load of 3 hours on their backs. People might complain about WWE bringing back people back, but do you think they actually need more fresh faces to create variety and depth on the show? Conan, are there any people on NXT who sees valuable bodies to create depth on the main roster? I don't think Conan watches NXT, so I doubt he would.
Yeah, I don't watch
have this answer. Yeah, but yeah, they are struggling with that. They need Randy Orton back. Who else is missing that they could do? Where's Kevin Owens been, by the way?
Yeah, like that has to do with the Sami.
Look that up.
Yeah, he was gonna be involved with Sami and team up with them when they did the split. But since it's been going so well, they're holding Kevin off TV.
Why are they holding him off TV? Because he should be still like get a spot on TV. Yeah, it's a 3-hour show.
Yeah, but that's why he hasn't, because they were holding him off for the Sami thing.
Are you sure about that?
Yeah, absolutely.
Interesting.
Absolutely.